Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores, making the switch as easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift. Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores, making the switch as easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Hey there, this is Tom from the future. I'm whispering because time travel requires whispering. I don't know if you've listened to the newest episodes in order to find this out, but with the holidays here, there is a brand new thing that Patreon is doing where you can gift subs, which is really cool because that means a few different things. First of all, if you know somebody else who enjoys this show, you can get them a sub to whatever tier you want for whatever amount of time. So if you look at certain rewards and you think it would be really cool to get them those rewards, or just being part of the community, or even just getting ad-free episodes, that's something you can give this holiday season. Also, it means that if you've been wanting to sign up for the Patreon and you haven't been able to, and you want to ask for it as a gift from somebody else, then that can work as well. So both of those things are options. All that you have to do is go to Patreon, log in, or create an account. You can just create a free account. You don't have to sign up with anybody, anyone's Patreon. And then you go to the Patreon page for this show and you choose to gift a thing. You go through all the little options and you send them a gift. It's really simple. It would be super helpful to us. And it's a fun thing to give. So hope you consider that, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday. All right, let's get back to the show.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. One of the things you see online all the time, especially around the Fallout community and the circles of people who enjoy talking and chatting and posting things on social media or responding to videos. God knows that every time I put up a video about Fallout, I will get a mix of responses. Some people saying things like 76 sucks, or New Vegas is the best game and the only one you should play, or whatever. You know, like, there's the typical loud voices out in the community, but then there are other voices as well who share lots of other diverse perspectives. You know how it goes. And so I was curious, what happens if you poll a bunch of people about every single Fallout game and every single DLC that has been released, and you have them rank each of those games from masterpiece all the way down to bad, and then include did not play? And what happens? What happens when we get all of this data? What rises to the top? Which Fallout game is actually most people's favorite? How do people feel about different DLCs? How many people actually played Fallout Brotherhood of Steel? Well, I did it. I polled the community and we got 67 responses, which, of course, doesn't seem like a ton. This is not thousands of responses. And I understand why we didn't get a ton of responses. This was a much, I don't know, more involved, I guess you could say, questionnaire than sometimes I put out there. This is not something that just fits in a quick little poll that you submit onto, I don't know, social media or on Discord. This was a Google form, and this is a form that included every single game and rankings for every single game and DLC. But 67 is no slouch. That is not a bad number. And if you know anything about statistics, a smaller representation of individuals on a poll can actually very, very closely approximate the larger population as a whole. So we're going to go with it. 67 responses, and I think you will probably mostly not be too surprised by the results, but there may be some things that stand out to you. So here, let's get into it. Let's talk about all of the different games and DLC and which ones people ranked the highest and all of the trends that I noticed. There's some interesting stuff in the trends. Here we go. All right, so I think the most fun way to go about this is to start with the lowest ranked game or DLC and then work our way all the way up to the highest ranked. And then at the end of the show, I'm going to point out some patterns that emerge among the data, because there are some interesting things here that aren't necessarily noticeable just by going through the list. So here we go. Let's start with the worst ranked game across the entire series. Now just take a moment and think about it. Which one do you think is ranked worst? And this includes Fallout 1 and 2, Tactics, Brotherhood 3, 4, New Vegas, 76, and then all of the DLC for all of the games. You ready? All right, here we go. Which one do you think was ranked the lowest across everybody? I'll give you a second. All right, here we are. Fallout Brotherhood of Steel. Bringing up the rear. Now, not only was this the lowest ranked game on the list or DLC, it had the least number of people who have played it. 84.8% of people did not play the game. The average ranking was 1.7, with 6% saying it was bad, 7.6% saying it was just okay, and 1.5% saying it was good. It is the lowest ranking by far. It is below the average of just okay. And that tracks. This game did not even review very well when it came out, and most people just haven't played it. So that totally tracks. Now, which is the next lowest on the list? I have a feeling you may not be surprised about this. All right, you got one in mind? Fallout Tactics, the next lowest on the list. Similar numbers of people who did not play. 3 out of 4 people, 75.8%, did not play, but the rankings were slightly higher, with 6% saying it was good, 9% saying it was okay, and 9% saying it was bad, for an average of 1.8. Still not averaged up to just okay, but a little bit better than Brotherhood of Steel. All right, next on the list, let's move on. I think the next two you'll find interesting as well. And it lends itself to a certain type of pattern that I think we're seeing here. In fact, the next three lowest scores all come from Fallout 4 DLC. Check this out. Fallout 4 Contraptions Workshop got an average score of 2.5. That means it was above just okay, halfway between okay and good. Wasteland Workshop, 2.52. And Vault-Tec Workshop, 2.62. Now, I have a feeling about this, and maybe you can confirm this or not. So feel free to comment on this episode on our Discord or wherever you're listening to this, if there's the ability to comment. But here's my theory about this. First of all, these are not story-focused DLC. Most of the time when people are playing DLC and thinking about how interesting and how much it adds to the Fallout experience, especially among people who listen to a lore show, I think that they're looking for something that not only expands the things you can do in the world, but expands the story of the world. And none of these three expand the story. Also, if you're somebody who picked up Fallout 4 after launch, instead of somebody who picked up Fallout 4 when it launched and you were waiting for the DLC to roll out, you might not have a very clear perspective on what is in each of these updates. They kind of blend together, Contraptions, Wasteland, Vault-Tec, and honestly, going back myself years later, playing through, I kind of have a foggy recollection about which things were added by which. So that would lend itself to being kind of ranked a little bit lower. People going, yeah, I kind of like this one, I think. Maybe not so much. But I also think it skews to the community. There aren't as many builders in our community as there are people who are interested in the lore. So that makes sense as well. All right, so moving on, let's go to the next one. Which one do you think this is? This is number 18 on our list out of 23, and that includes, all the games and all the DLC. It's another Fallout 4 DLC. Can you guess which one? Automatron. Now, this one surprised me that it is as low as it is. It got a lot of responses. 13% say they haven't played it, which I find interesting, but that's consistent across the Fallout 4 DLC. 13% is roughly the amount of the community here that was polled that just doesn't seem to have played these. But I found that interesting because I enjoyed it. Maybe it's just because I like the robots and the things that it added and the fun little story about the mechanist. I don't know. But on average, the score is 2.88, which puts it just below good. It's at the top end of okay. And I guess that makes sense. The highest polling group, though, was good. 30% said good. Just okay was 25%. Great was only 21%. Bad was 6%, and I think that's weighing the average down. Although two people said it was a masterpiece. So the spectrum is there. We have a broad swath of opinions, which is great for a poll like this. And something I'm not sure I was expecting as much of. I mean, you always have kind of a bell curve of responses for most things, but I kind of thought there would be more consistency around the general votes for a lot of people, but turns out there isn't. It's actually pretty broad. All right, next one on the list, number 17. We're moving up the list. This one is not a Fallout 4 DLC. It is not a mainline game. It is a DLC, though, for Fallout 3, Operation Anchorage. All right, so let's unpack that. Operation Anchorage with an average score of 3.3. So we are now above the threshold of good. These games from this point on average, will be ranked good. But I think this one tracks with my experience as well. Operation Anchorage is all about killing a bunch of invaders up in Alaska. You know, the Chinese army is invading the US, and it all takes place in a simulation. So it does add to the lore, but it also feels kind of a step removed. So that makes sense. The actual numbers here are interesting. Let's go down the list. Masterpiece got 4.6 with 3 votes. Great was the majority at 35.4, but then below that with 23% is good, and then just okay is 16%, and there's one person who voted bad. So what's also interesting about this is 18% of people did not play it. And this is common across the Fallout 4 or Fallout 3 DLCs. Fallout 3 as a whole, most people played. Only 3% say they did not play Fallout 3, but a lot of the DLCs did not get played. 18% to 25% on one of them. Which is interesting that people didn't stick around for the DLCs of Fallout 3, even going back years later and probably buying them all in a bundle and being able to just kind of play through all of them. So I find that kind of notable as well. All right, let's move on from Operation Anchorage to number 16. We have another Fallout 3 DLC, Mothership Zeta. I would have guessed, if you had asked me ahead of time, that Mothership Zeta would have pulled lower than Operation Anchorage, because that one, it seems to that the community as a whole tends to be a little bit divided about that. But turns out, not so much. Not so much. 9% said masterpiece, 27% said great, 24% said good, just okay was 7, and bad was 4%, 4.5%. And so that means that we're at 3.34, so about a third of the way up the good ranking, which is not so bad. It's in there. This is good. Similar to Mothership Zeta, number 15, just above that, is The Pit, another Fallout 3 DLC. And I think we're seeing a trend here. People typically liked or disliked the add-ons for Fallout 4 that did workshop stuff the most. Automatron, not so great. And then some of the Fallout 3 DLCs. are tend to be ranked lower. This is kind of the pattern here. The pit, 3.43%. You've got 18% saying they didn't play it. The bulk is divided here between great and good, but because we have 9% saying just okay and 1.1% saying bad, it pulls the average down. Let's move on to number 17. Which one do you think is next? You might be thinking it's another Fallout 3 DLC, but it's not. You might be thinking it's one of the older games because people just haven't played them as much or came to them later and they just didn't find them as appealing or easy to get into. And remember, all of these are ranked according to just what people think of the game in general. And that depends on what things that they value most. So in another poll I did recently, or at least another ranking I did in the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, Lotus and I ranked all of the main and DLCs for Elder Scrolls according to the quality of the main story. But if main story isn't your main thing, then you can't assume that that's how people ranked these. It's just kind of general and what was most important to each of them, which we'll get to in some of the comments later on. So this one, number 14, Fallout 76. This is the next lowest ranked game. On average, 3.45 ranking or rating, and between good and great, just halfway between good and great. The majority, though, 37.9%, so almost 38% said great. Masterpiece was 10%. 15% of people, though, did not play it. And because 6% said bad, 12% said okay, and 18% said good, it pulls the weighting down. So if you just look at the chart, it looks like there's a lot of great and a lot of masterpiece, but it does get pulled down by those lower rankings, especially the bad ones because of the point amount there. So Fallout 76, almost in the middle of the entire ranking of the entire thing. Now, I think you'll be very surprised about number 13 on the list. Think about it for a second. Which one do you think it is? It's not more Fallout 3 DLC. I kind of thought that's the direction things were trending here. Fallout 1. This was a big surprise because Fallout 1 is typically seen as a, especially for its time, a masterpiece of a game. Now, that doesn't mean it doesn't have its problems. It doesn't mean that, and I think this might play into a little bit, going back now and trying to play it, that it isn't a little bit difficult, a little bit slow, a little bit odd in the way it functions, because it's not a modern game by any stretch of the imagination. And 56.9, almost 57% of you said that you didn't play it, that you haven't played it at all. Now, I've played it some, I haven't played it to completion, and I know a lot of people will play for maybe a few hours and then kind of bounce off of it. So I think that makes some sense, but let's get into the nitty-gritty here. Among the people who voted, just okay got 4.6%, good was 18.5%, great was 15.4%, and masterpiece was 4.6%. So it's very, very broad, but nobody said it was bad, which is interesting. But that broad spectrum of the rest of the, you know, the bulk after 57% people didn't play it means that it has an average score of 3.46. So it's very squarely right between good and great. And I'm sure if we were to get more people who played this game, especially more people who played this game at launch, who chimed in on this, that ranking would improve. I would bet you, I don't know, lunch on it. I'm a massive gambler. So there you go. That's number 13. Let's go up to number 12. Let's do 12 and 11 at the same time. 12, Fallout 3 Broken Steel, and 11, Fallout 3 Point Lookout. Broken Steel got 3.54 and Point Lookout got 3.68. That is the highest ranked Fallout 3 DLC. And this totally makes sense to me. Both of these are squarely between good and great. They are very close in their rankings together. Broken Steel fixed the end of Fallout 3. So if you were somebody who was playing it back then, when that DLC came out, it was like, oh, thank you so much. We can play the game after it ends and we actually get a nice resolution. And then Point Lookout is super strange. It's super weird. It changes things up. It adds to the lore. It moves to another location and is very memorable. It is definitely much more memorable than, say, the Fallout 4 workshops and which one added what stuff, at least in my mind. Now, of course, my recollection of these things isn't going to be everybody's recollection, and so you might have a different take on this. And that also plays into the things that we prioritize. I tend to prioritize uniqueness of experience and the interesting lore that it adds into the world, or the interesting characters, or the set pieces, and how those things play out. And even some of the gameplay and the fun of just going through whatever was designed there. I'm much less of a builder and somebody who spends their time tinkering in and around the world. I'm somebody who wants to just kind of go on an adventure and see where it takes me. So that makes sense for my play style, but of course it may be different for your play style. So that wraps up all of the Fallout 3 DLC, but we still haven't seen Fallout 3 ranked, Fallout 4 ranked, Fallout New Vegas, any of the New Vegas DLC. So there's a lot more still going on here. And I think you might be surprised about some of the ones and how they rank at the top of this list. But we have to go thank our patrons, so we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Oh, and by the way, before we do this, before we get past this little break thing, just wanted to let you know, if you are not a patron and you kind of jump over this midsection every time we do it, there is something really cool that Patreon has added just in time for the holidays. You can gift a Patreon subscription, which means if you know somebody else who is like, yeah, I like the show, but I just don't have the money to support, but it would be really cool to get ad-free episodes or stickers or t-shirts or join in a patron chat, you can gift that. You could just go to the Fallout Patreon and look it up. And what that also means is if you want a Patreon subscription and you can't afford it, you could tell somebody else about it and maybe somebody else in your life would gift it to you. So it works both ways and it helps me out. So we can all have fun together. And I think it would be really cool to have some people who haven't in the past been able to join us for the patron chats get an opportunity to do that over the next few months. So just an idea. All right, let's go thank our patrons. I'll be right back.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest still eager to serve.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. This is going to be real quick. We've got some new patrons. Patreon.com/FalloutLoreCast if you want to sign up and check stuff out. Welcome to Fart Simpson. I have a feeling this is not a real name, so I will not. I will say the last name here. Also, reference to Bart Simpson. The Simpsons is still a thing, right? Like, they're still going? They're still doing that show? Thank you, Fart Simpson. Vimy and Terry M., thank you so much for your support. I'm so glad that you decided to sign up. If you would like to help out the show, if you'd like to get some stuff, like ad-free episodes and stickers and t-shirts, and we're gonna have some new t-shirts in the next few months. I'm gonna roll some new ones out, so be ready for that. And also, if you'd like to get a seat on our little patron chat, which is coming up next week, actually, we'll be doing it on the 27th, on Wednesday the 27th. Also, this is where I normally shout out our sentry bots, a sentry bot tier, but we don't currently have any sentry bots. So if you sign up at that level, you'll definitely get a shout out next week and every week. So there you go. That's another thing you can do. Also, if you'd like to help the show out in other ways, you can rate the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. 5-star ratings with reviews on Apple Podcasts will get read out on a future episode of the show. And you guys know how all of this stuff goes. All right, let's get back to the ranking stuff. I'm so excited to talk about the stuff at the top of the list. So here we go.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
All right, we're back and we are at the top 10 section of this list. Number 10. Actually, let's do number 10 and number 9 at the same time. We have Honest Hearts and Dead Money Fallout New Vegas DLC. We're starting to see Fallout New Vegas stuff show up here. And so here's my perspective on a lot of the Fallout New Vegas DLC is that in general, today, they are very positively viewed, which this ranking is showing. But at the time they were released, they were very, very divisive. And Within this situation, we have Honest Hearts at a 3.68 and Dead Money at 3.72, which means they're very, very close, but they're not quite in the great range yet. And they're actually reversed from the release order. Dead Money came first, then Honest Hearts came second, but Dead Money has the higher ranking. So it's not like we're moving up in order of release info. And I also find this a little bit surprising because Honest Hearts has all the Joshua Graham stuff in it, which tends to be very popular. And that doesn't mean that this is, I mean, this is almost at the great ranking. So these are clearly very popular, but I would have assumed that that in particular would be ranked a little bit higher among the DLC from New Vegas. But, you know, I'm also not the kind of person who really sticks to New Vegas as like the be all end all in the series. It's a wonderful game. It's a great game. And I absolutely can see that there is narrative stuff going on in this game that is significantly more interesting than some of the things that we see in, say, Fallout 3 or Fallout 4, and dynamic and dark and weird. There's a whole lot going on in Fallout New Vegas. So don't get me wrong. I absolutely agree that a lot of the Fallout New Vegas stuff is top tier, especially when it comes to story and characters and just kind of the wackiness of the world, or just the severity of the world. Like, there is some really, really good stuff here. But at the same time, I'm not somebody who like harps on this game and constantly goes back and plays it like a significant portion of the fan base does. So I kind of have a mixed perspective on that. So there you go. Honest Hearts, Dead Money. We're getting closer and closer to a solid, great ranking. That's 10 and 9. Let's go to 8. Which one do you think is 8? Now, 8 is a mainline game. Fallout 4. Which is interesting, because Fallout 4, on average, is ranked higher than those DLC for New Vegas. Which is unexpected, in my mind, because generally among the community, people tend to kind of pick on Fallout 4. But that also means that they're our Fallout 4 DLC that are ranked higher than the base game. So Fallout 4 gets 3.78. So we're still coming up on that great average overall. It's still close to the top of the list, so it's definitely not further down. And as a whole, I think Fallout 4 is a solid game. It's a solid experience. I get that people didn't necessarily like being the protagonist with a voice and all of that, or being kind of shooed into a story that was a little bit more focused around a character rather than being freeform for them to do whatever they want. But it's a great game, and it plays well when the patches don't break it, and it can be modded a lot. The story is interesting. It adds a lot of lore to the world. There's a lot going on for Fallout 4. All right, let's move on to Fallout 4 Nuka World in 7th place. Nuka World just edges out Fallout 4 by 0.01. Fallout 4 was 3.78, Nuka World 3.79. And that tracks. I think Nuka World, in my experience, came across very positively for a lot of people. I can see a little bit of its shortcomings, though, but it is a really cool new zone. You've got a bunch of new factions. You have an experience in Nuka World, which has been, Nuka-Cola has been a cornerstone of the series for such a long time. And among the people who ranked this, only 12% said they did not play. So even people who didn't play some of the other Fallout 4 DLC very specifically chose to play Nuka World, and 25.8% ranked it as a masterpiece. 25.8, and then 31.8 said great, and then it's weighed down a little bit by the good and okay at good at 18 and okay at 12, but nobody ranked it bad. So that tracks for that. Let's go back and talk about Fallout 4, though, because there are some details here. I kind of skimmed over this. 22% said masterpiece, but the bulk of people who voted for Fallout 4 said it was great at 45.5%. And that the reason why the average is dragged down is by 21% good and 10% okay. Nobody said it was a bad game. So very interesting there how that kind of plays out. Next on the list, Fallout New Vegas, another DLC, Lonesome Road. Lonesome Road gets a score of 3.81, just edging out Fallout 4 and Nuka World. And I get it. This one, you got Ulysses, you've got kind of the culmination of the courier story going on here. And it is New Vegas, so it's going to get a high ranking for that. So that all tracks a lot. It also was the final DLC in New Vegas, so it kind of brings everything to a close. 18% said masterpiece, 33.3% said great, 12% said good, 9% said okay, but 27% did not play. 27.3%, which is almost the highest. Dead Money has 30% who did not play, which again is very interesting. The did not plays for the DLC for New Vegas are at 30%, 27%, 24%, and 27%. But the game itself only has 1.5% saying that they did not play it. So another interesting point about how the data seems to be shaking out here. A lot of people played the main game, but just did not move on to the DLC. So interesting, right? All right, now we're in the top five. Top five. Which do you think is the top five? We still have a few mainline games and some DLC across a few different games here. So let's get into it. Number five on the list. I did not expect this. Fallout 3. The actual main game of Fallout 3 with a total score of 3.89, or an average score of 3.89, which means almost great. We're just 11% away from great. We're that close. Fallout 3 gets 27.3% saying it was a masterpiece. The bulk here is at 37.9% saying it was great, and then 27.3% saying it was good. So you can see how, like, the same amount of people voted masterpiece as voted good. So the average is swinging into the great range. 3% did not play. 3% said it was just okay. And 1% said it was bad. So there's somebody out there who's just like, nope, not my game at all. This is terrible. All right, let's talk about number four. Number four, the other DLC for New Vegas, Old World Blues, at 3.96, just below great. None of the Fallout New Vegas stuff hit great on average, but it was all well above good and into the almost great category. And I think this tracks as well. Old World Blues, it makes sense. This is a good one. And it shows up, it's in the top four, but it didn't make the top three. Let's move on to the top three. Number three. What do you think? Can you picture in your mind what is left? Here's what's left in chronological order from when they were released. The top three are going to be either Fallout 2, the game, Fallout New Vegas, the game, or Fallout 4, Far Harbor, the DLC. Which one do you think is number three? All right, here's the answer. Fallout 2, with an average of 4.05, clearly in the great zone. And this tracks for me. Fallout 1 is significantly lower than I expected it, but it has a lot of competition. Now that we've gone through the list, you can see a lot of the other competition going on there. Fallout 4 ranked on average higher than a lot of DLC for Fallout 3, for New Vegas, for Fallout 4 even. Fallout 3, though, among the people who played Fallout 1 and Fallout 2, was in their minds, in a lot of people's minds, especially playing it back in the day, was a masterpiece. And whereas Fallout 1 kind of treaded new ground, Fallout 2 completed what they were doing. It got 13%. Now, remember, most people didn't play it. 69% of people did not play, actually almost 70, 69.7, did not play Fallout 2. But of the people who did play, the bulk said it was a masterpiece, 13.6. And then below that, 4.5 said great and 12.1 said good. So you can see how it averages out at great, because did not play doesn't count for the score. So that's number three. All right, number two. All we have left is Fallout New Vegas and the Far Harbor DLC for Fallout 4. Which one do you think it is? It's the Fallout 4 Far Harbor DLC. At 4.16. This is clearly above great. We are not quite halfway to masterpiece, but this means that the majority of people who played Far Harbor thought it was amazing. And that tracks. That makes a lot of sense to me, because it expands the world. It moves to a really interesting zone. You've got some new enemies. You've got some new characters. You have the culmination of what's his face? The detective guy. Why can't I think of his name? His story with Dima. I can remember Dima's name, but I can't remember a detective guy's name off the top of my head. I'm not going to look it up. You guys know who I'm talking about. But this absolutely tracks. The bulk of votes were at great with 36.4%. Masterpiece was 34.8%. And then everything else. Good is at 16%. Did not play 10%. And just okay was only 1.1%. Nobody ranked this as bad. So this means number one, Fallout New Vegas. Sure enough, there's a big community out there of people who just absolutely sing the praises of New Vegas. And the base game, not the DLCs, the base game has 66.7%. That is almost exactly every two out of three people saying that Fallout New Vegas was a masterpiece. That is incredible. Only one person did not play it. Only one person ranked it as bad. Two people said just okay. 7.6% said good, but 19.7% said great. That is huge. And so the average score is 4.48. That is halfway between great and masterpiece on average. That is huge. That is incredible. And I think we need to look at the data here. What does the data say? What are some takeaway points for this? Well, I think there's a trend here. I think there are trends that you can see throughout this data. First of all, Fallout New Vegas, highly regarded across the board. The base game, of course, number one, but then all the DLC are very, very high up the chart. And I think that lends to a greater perspective on the data. If we look at everything on the list, on average, the parts, or I guess you could say the games and the DLC that lean more into story, interesting lore, tying things together from other parts of the story, tended to score higher than the DLC that were more mechanical or more functional or just kind of expanding a specific kind of area or thing you could do. That type of stuff tended to score lower. I think that there's some other things that you could pull from this as well. So let's take a look at the classic games. Fallout 1 and Fallout 2. Fallout 1 got a 3.46 average and Fallout 2 got a 4.05 average. The Fallout original games still hold up in the minds of the fans. Now, the technology is pretty old, but they still hold up. And I have to wonder if that's one of the reasons why Bethesda does not want to go remake those games. Yes, they're hard to play now. Yes, they're a little bit difficult to get into because of the way the screen looks and the pace of the combat, those kinds of things. But on average, people tend to have a very positive perspective on those games. And if you were to remake them, you risk tarnishing that memory. I can see that. Let's talk about the DLC. The DLC across the board are all varied significantly. Now, they tended to trend along the lines of the main game they were with. They were, in general, ranked in and around or just slightly below on average of the game that they were a part of, which makes sense. If you liked Fallout 3, then you're probably going to like the DLC, maybe some more than others. If you like Fallout 4, you're probably going to like the DLC. If you like New Vegas, you're probably going to like the DLC. So that tracks. That pattern seems to work. But when they branched out in developing the DLC into other kinds of things, again, the things that were more mechanically focused, they didn't seem to be rated as high. People want the story content, and they want story content especially that is pivotal, words are hard, to the story of the main game. Things that really kind of bring things into conclusion, or take threads and finish those threads in interesting and dynamic ways. Far Harbor, Old World Blues. These are some of the DLC that really, and others as well. I mean, that's not a complete list, but you get the idea here. They take those ideas and they kind of finish them off, or they expand them in interesting ways. I think there's one other trend here you can find. Fallout Tactics and Brotherhood of Steel ranked very, very low. Now, part of that is because they were done by offshoot developers that were not part of the mainline developers, either back when Fallout 1 and 2 were being developed or when Bethesda took control of the property. But also they branch out from what the main focus of the games are, and that's role-playing, creating these role-playing worlds. Tactics and Brotherhood of Steel, yeah, they've got lore in them, they've got some weirdness, they've got some interesting enemies, things like that, but overall, the gameplay, they're very different types of games, and I'm not sure that people really are looking for that. I didn't include here the mobile game, Fallout Shelter. Lots of people have played Fallout Shelter, but it is so significantly a different type of game, I'm not sure it even makes sense to put on this list, so I did not include it. I think that you would find that it would rank probably in the middle, though, would be my guess. So there you go. Those are some trends that I noticed among the data. I'm going to share some of this up on the Discord if anybody else wants to kind of look through it. And let me know what your thoughts are. Thanks for tuning in, as usual. And of course, I'll be back next week chatting with our patrons. And patrons, be thinking about what you might want to talk about. It's coming up to Turkey Day here in the U.S. I don't know, maybe we could talk about, you know, what would you stuff a death claw with in order to serve it for Thanksgiving in the wasteland? I don't know, that's a terrible idea. All right, thanks for being here, everyone. I'll see you next time. Have a wonderful week, and until then, enjoy your games. Seems like you guys like these games a lot. See you later. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people, on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift. Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Hey there, this is Tom from the future. I'm whispering because time travel requires whispering. I don't know if you've listened to the newest episodes in order to find this out, but with the holidays here, there is a brand new thing that Patreon is doing where you can gift subs, which is really cool because that means a few different things. First of all, if you know somebody else who enjoys this show, you can get them a sub to whatever tier you want for whatever amount of time. So if you look at certain rewards and you think it would be really cool to get them those rewards, or just being part of the community, or even just getting ad-free episodes, that's something you can give this holiday season. Also, it means that if you've been wanting to sign up for the Patreon and you haven't been able to, and you want to ask for it as a gift from somebody else, then that can work as well. So, both of those things are options. All that you have to do is go to Patreon, log in, or create an account. You can just create a free account. You don't have to sign up with anybody, anyone's Patreon. And then you go to the Patreon page for this show, and you choose to gift a thing. You go through all the little options, and you send them a gift. It's really simple. It would be super helpful to us. And it's...
it's a fun thing to give. So hope you consider that, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday. All right, let's get back to the show.